Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes.
Beautiful.
All right, the double time helps, I think.
That was a good clap.
Yeah, it felt good. Felt good. I'm just gonna jadoop my mic a little bit here. All right. My pop filter is getting out of position.
So pop filter.
Might have. Gotta have a pop filter for your plosives. You gotta have those perfect plosives.
I think I just learned what a plosive is.
It's one of those very self-explanatory words that I don't think anyone has ever looked up the definition of.
There's no question.
Because anytime someone will casually say plosive in a sentence, they'll be like, yeah, yeah, plosives, and blah, blah, blah. And someone will be like, what's a plosive? And they'll be like, you know, like a plosive. And it's like, oh, right, plosive.
When somebody like pull requested plosive into the English language, I bet there was like a whole thing about it. Like, really? Like a P starting with a P? Somebody was like, I really need this word. Yeah.
They're like, that's ballsy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what the master of the English language said when they tried to pull
the maintainer.
Plosive. The maintainer of English. Yep.
The BDFL of the English language.
Yes. So shall we this week in PRs?
Speaking of.
Right. So a couple interesting things. For starters, Adam merged or pull requested self-registering event listeners. Did you see anything about that on Twitter?
No.
So this is the deal. So you know how before, if you create you create some event, artisan make event or something. And then you have to create a listener for it, for that event, right? Assuming you're not using notifications, you have to register events and their listeners. And when you go to register the listeners, it's kind of a pain. And I've had to do this where you go into that. I've even like forgot like where it is, but it's some service provider somewhere or like kernel or I don't know, whatever. And you have to register
the
listeners and they're
all
appropriate.
Your listeners, right?
Yeah. So it's a big pain. So basically what he did is proposed that in your event, so you have some event, inside the event, you have a property called called hears or something. Or sorry, in the listener, my bad. In the listener, you have some property called hears that
and it
then,
just automatically subscribes.
Exactly, it just subscribes itself to those events. So it's great. I think it's awesome. Yeah, it's really great. And so that got merged and is a thing. And in 5.5, we'll have self-registering event listeners, which is great.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And then I thought this was interesting that like not long later, somebody proposed that they change the word hears to listens for instead of hears. So instead of like this listener hears an event, this listener listens for an event. And they gave this whole huge like explanation of why hear is a better word. Why listens for is a better word, because when you're hearing something, you could be in earshot or you could not, you know? So it's not saying that like you're going to hear it. It's saying that you're like, you know, it's saying if you hear something in earshot, where listens for is like, I'm actively listening for this event to occur. It was this whole huge thing. And it was, I thought it was interesting.
Like, I feel like there's a simpler reason that listens for is better because it's a listener. And what does a listener do if
it
not listen
for
things?
Right, you probably could have left it at that. I feel like I do this too. Like you feel like that's just not enough. So
right.
Yeah, he says.
If you want to rename the concept of listeners to event hearers, then we could talk about, you know.
Well,
I don't know.
He says it's more active. It describes something that the object is actively doing, where hears feels more passive. If I say I hear a particular sound, you would assume that I happen to be in an area where the sound is occurring. So it's kind of far-fetched. But I liked what he was doing. This is Brandon Schar. And basically, anyway, the reason I brought it up is because of Taylor's comment before he merged it, which I think is hilarious. He says, sure, comma, whatever. It's like it's just like sure, whatever. If you want to, like, it is so much fun to look at his messages when he merges or rejects stuff, particularly merging.
Some of them are very terse.
Oh, totally. But he's so like, I don't know the word to describe it, but he's just like, okay, like, save it. I'll throw it in. Just shut up.
But then other times he wants to get into the fray.
Yeah, it's true. It's hard to know. And I feel like
he's very much a case by case type of individual, as far as I can tell.
This type of stuff could have been happening forever and I just didn't know about it. But I feel like things are getting to the point where, like, everybody's discovering that you can PR whatever you want. And uh-huh. I'm sure it's always been that way, but maybe I'm just tuning into it more, where, like, you see something on Twitter, somebody has an idea, or somebody pull requests something, and it breeds, like, 20 new pull requests of a similar thing, like we saw with the string helper thing. And so a part of me just feels like he's just, like, slapping
that one
his
is
forehead.
Your fault.
What's that?
You did that to the community.
I did that to the community. That's true. And there's
more
to come on
that. You started pull requesting string helpers, and then you talked about it on your popular Laravel podcast, and then then people started thinking, oh, Caleb Porzio can pull request string helpers. I can pull request string helpers.
Right. That's so funny, because that's the way I feel, is like, hey, I could just pull request this. And that. So the next pull request
breaking
is,
news. Caleb Porzio, bad for Laravel.
Bad for Laravel. I bet a part of Taylor is like, this dude, stop.
Yeah. This firebrand coming out of Titan, coming in hot, getting a podcast.
Not contributing anything useful to the framework, but only fetishes and helper functions. Like,
yeah.
That is what he is contributing to Laravel.
I take great pride in the fact that the only pull request in my name is Markdown.
That's great. I mean, that's...
No, it's not. It's actually terrible. I'm the worst contributor ever.
I don't pull request some PHP. Actually useful. I never actually pull request PHP. Yeah.
I only pull request Markdown.
But your Markdown
YAML.
Pull requests, like, everybody else's Markdown pull requests are, like, spelling things. Yours is, like, the code of conduct for those listening. The Laravel code of conduct that never existed until Daniel said, I will make it exist. And it happened.
Yeah. Well, I think we were sitting around a table and someone said, what if there was a code of conduct? And then I was the one with a laptop in front of me.
Yeah. You're giving yourself not enough credit. But anyway, okay, so the next pull request is hilarious. Add the string before extra helper. It's the inverse of string after. So,
of course.
Right, of course. And I've seen this before. And last time, I think we talked about this before. And last time it got rejected. But this time it got pulled in with no comment by Taylor. So I'm sure,
we talked about what they needed to change to get it accepted on the last episode, but I forget what we said.
I have no idea.
We predicted last week that they were going to re-pull request it.
Really? Yeah, well, maybe he said he was going
to... I feel this in my bones. I'm going to have to...
Maybe.
See, now I'm going to go listen to this and realize that we were talking about something else, and then I'm going to feel dumb, and then people are going to realize I'm dumb.
That's okay.
It's hard to have a podcast.
So, the tweet, this is, like, all related to that tweet that Jacob Bennett, you know, sent out about the string between helper. He's like, when you combine string before and string after, like, he nested them and called it string between. And he's like, I dare somebody to pull request this. And I tagged Taylor and was like, he hates us. And Taylor said something like, bro, enough with the string helpers or something. I forget what he said. It was really funny. But so he's totally like at
wit's
end
for
these
string around.
String around. Well, we just need to create more string helper functions. That's what we need.
String around, string near,
right? Just a bunch of vague things where everybody can argue about the argument orders and strings
string-ish.
And integers and strict checking. It's hilarious. Like, okay, so this is another one. Add missing empty statements. This one I wanted to just throw out. So Lucas Mitchett, he's one of the top Laravel contributors. He's in like the top five. And so he's been doing this thing where he's been contributing a lot of like big changes, like there's a small like style thing that's kind of wrong in a bunch of places in Laravel, so he'll fix it everywhere and then submit this big
that's
pull
nice
request
of him.
It is nice of him, and I thought of doing
that's
like
a
I've,
classic unsung hero maneuver.
It is totally, but here's how it's being received. He keeps getting denied, and he's no. I mean, he's totally legit like Laravel contributor, so it's not like poor Lucas, but He keeps getting denied. So, like, he pull requests this thing. And I just thought this was fascinating. And anybody who is interested in contributing to Laravel should know the ins and outs of what kind of stuff gets pulled in and what doesn't. So he said all these missing empty statements. which I don't even know what that. Oh, but basically, he was adding all the like slash slash comments where there's just no slash slash comments. You know, where you do that in an empty function for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he's like, add it everywhere. And so Taylor said, it's really fine without them. I don't like creating unnecessary merge conflicts on these big PRs. Every time I merge an update from 5.4, I'll get conflicts here. So it's this interesting thing where because we're developing 5.5, that when you're trying to pull in, when he keeps having to merge in all the changes to 5.4 in 5.5, he's running in all these merge conflicts and it must be a huge pain. So he like, it's interesting, like timing matters. Like if it was just 5.5 and we weren't talking about 5.4, he probably would be way more okay with a pull request like this. But because he's going to have to resolve all these merge conflicts every day, he doesn't want to do it. So,
huh. That makes total sense. Like, if you think about how many times that's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting. Like, that's something I wouldn't think of. And I've thought of doing things like that, like big pull requests where I change, like, I have actually a to-do. Add array wrap, like, everywhere in Laravel where there's is array checking, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's something that would probably not get merged in and would just make more work for him right now. So, I don't know. Interesting stuff. The last thing, I'll breeze through it. So just like a minute ago, there was an hour ago, add collection wrap method. So the collection class now has a wrap method in 5.5, okay. Like array wrap, but for collection wrap. And this is more of that, like, this is crazy because array wrap just got some love. So Raul, my, Argentinian buddy from Laracon, he tweeted this thing about array wrap, the helper function. And it went viral, a tiny kind of viral, not really, like a while back. But then just yesterday, out of the blue, Taylor Otwell retweeted it. So now everybody's seeing this array wrap thing. And then they're conversing about it. And then somebody thought, oh, well, what about collection wrap? And then they pull requests. So, like, the whole community is so intertwined. And if you like, look into Twitter and pull requests, like, you see the pulse of the community, you know? So, anyway, I just wanted to note that. And then my other note is, well, one, what his reply to it was. So this is Taylor's reply when he merges it in. I guess I'll merge this because people will just keep sending it. So he's like, so
I feel like, okay, here, and Taylor, I don't know if you listen to this show, but we'd love to have you. Here's the thing. I feel like he's got a lot of shit going on right now. he's making Laracon, and he's making Horizon, and he's making whatever other secret thing he's making. And people keep sending him string helpers and like array related things. So yeah, I feel like that is what's happening with those.
Yep. I think you're right. So then
he's like, guys, I have this talk I have to write.
So this is hilarious. The next pull request, add unwrap to collection. For real. Yeah, this got pull requested 21 minutes ago.
We might have reached peak this week in PRs.
Yep, we're done. Okay.
Yep, we're done. All right. Array wrap, array unwrap, collection wrap, collection unwrap.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay.
So we have a topic.
We do.
What's the topic?
We're going to talk about customizing Laravel, sort of.
We're specifically going to talk about a statement that one Mr. Caleb Porzio made in what we call Beer Cat Meetup, which is a weekly Titan tradition on Thursdays at 4 p.m., wherein the people who are into beer drink some beer, and the people who have cats bring their cats, and we all hop on a Zoom video conference call and just kind of hang out and talk about what we're doing for the weekend and just kind of hang out and talk about stuff. Occasionally, it devolves into these types of conversations. And so during Beer Cat Meetup last week, Caleb made a statement. And the statement was, if I recall, I'm so tired of all of these customizations that I've made to Laravel. I'm ripping them all out. I just want to write stock Laravel. Which, if you guys don't recall, from the author of the Laravel Macros blog post of fame and fortune on the Titan blog, is a strange thing to hear.
Right.
So, hearing Mr. Laravel Customization himself, Caleb Porzio, say, I'm sick of it. I'm not doing it anymore. led me to mock him mercilessly.
So everybody knows the, everybody knows the feeling. You're in another code base. Just think about, this is so simple, but it's so true. When you're in your own code base, it's just this beautiful thing, especially if you have enough time to make it like everything you want in the world. And the problems are so internal to you, and the domain is so like such a reflex that when you come up with like some custom solution, it looks beautiful. And then when you look at somebody else's code, like separately, I don't know about other people. I hate other people's code. I just hate it. I don't hate it, but I come at it hating, you know? Like when I read somebody else's code, I'm immediately thinking like, oh, come on, you know? Like I'm never thinking like, oh, that's brilliant. Unless I know the person is like a genius and I think of them, you know, I don't know, whatever. But I look at other code and it takes me a while to warm up to it, you know? Like when I look at it, I'm always like, is that, come on, that like helper thing, was that just a this or that? So I think Matt was strategic in putting me on a legacy project of ours. I'm almost positive he was. And not that I haven't worked in tons of legacy projects, but this one was like...
And to be clear, you were coming off of like a Greenfield Laravel internals project.
Totally.
It was basically and like, so I was build all, helper functions and
my
stuff.
Head was in the clouds. I was on the most, like a super long running Greenfield project that was perfect. Like it is the most... It's the most perfect app I've ever even come close to touching. Like it's just everything you want in a Laravel app, because the requirements are really generic and you can literally, they're like post and comment and so anyway, I was having fun. But so I was put in this legacy project and there were just so many things that I was like, oh come on, like this is just, I don't want to have to learn your way of doing it. So this is so obvious, but basically that feeling,
after having just spent like 3 months inventing your own way of doing it.
I know. So then after like a couple weeks, I go back to this project I was working at and I see all my macros, like my auth macros and stuff. And I'm like, and my factory macros or factory things we talked about with like auth factory, auth state and stuff.
Factros.
I looked at it and I was like, this is garbage. I'm ripping it all out. So I ripped it all out.
How did it feel?
It felt great. And then Matt like commented, I didn't even know he like looked at the pull request stream. Or the merge stream, but like he commented, lol. And so anyway, I'm growing.
Okay, this is interesting. So maybe, what, how many episodes have we had of this podcast?
I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7.
20. Eight. Let's see. Let me look at the numbers. We got numbers. All right, we have had 8 episodes of this podcast. So maybe. I'll give you 2 episodes to change direction, right? So maybe starting in episode 10, I will get my head in the clouds if I'm given a Greenfield project. And you can be the like skeptical voice of reason,
the
advocating
cynic
for Matt's point of view, who tells me that what I'm thinking is totally unreasonable.
Tell me,
how do you feel?
Like when I describe this feeling of coming at a code base with a little bit of hatred, how do you identify with that? How do you feel?
So if I know the person, it's way easier because I can just like Slack message them and be like if I get like an hour rundown of a project by the person who wrote the code, or even like a 15-minute rundown of the project by the person who wrote the code, I just like, I inhabit the domain relatively quickly.
Okay.
If it's like someone else's GitHub repo that I cloned down and needed to modify or something, then I get real sad pants. Like the APIs for packages in Laravel, like this was such a minor thing, but I recently had to do something with image cropping, and I downloaded basically an image cropping JavaScript library and an image, and I was using intervention image to modify it on the server.
Right.
And the order of width and height are backwards in the parameters for those two things. So that prevented me from just passing the arguments object from one to the other.
You had to
and
switch
I had
it.
To like break it out and reorder it and push it back in, which made me so sad. anyway, so it's like something like that. It's like, man, like, what were you thinking? Like, this is clearly the most commonly used JavaScript cropping library. why wouldn't you just make your parameters in the same order?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like those types of things where I like, that's when I develop like a little hatred in my gut where I'm just like, you did this wrong. I'm sorry that you did this wrong, but you just did.
Right. Yeah. What about like Laravel packages? Like when you were saying that, I'm feeling this feeling of like things built into Laravel are just supreme. You know, if it's like stock Laravel at the current point in time, especially like the newest version, there's something just divine about it. Like anything you write will be divine. Where when you pull in even a Laravel package, like I avoid Laravel packages, and that's probably a fault of mine.
I think the way that nested sub-resources in Fractal work, with like Fractal transformers, where like if you want to, or serializers,
okay,
if you want to like nest an object that's a relationship and then like pull in like a different transformer for that, that whole maneuver feels really, really like not my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super organized and super structured, and you can totally tell that this was someone invented the right way to do this one day.
Mm-hmm.
And like they went all out and like they did it so right, and it's just like the exact opposite of how I want to do it. So yeah, I feel that, but usually it's like packages from people I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
But like if it's someone at Titan, like I think Matt does a pretty good job of like, you know, like calming people down and getting them to write pretty reasonable code.
Right.
And so I think like people have already been through that here and like write code in relatively similar ways.
Right.
At least the people I've dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, like I just have access to those people. And so like I can get a sense for like their logic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely. Yeah. I think the takeaway is, or at least the realization for me is that you could be a great developer. So you're talking about like Matt Stauffer here, and he is advocating for this like almost pure Laravel anytime you possibly can until you absolutely can't, you know? Like I just want that to be like, I have to let that sink in. Like you can be an unbelievable, super successful, super smart, great Laravel dev and know nothing but the Laravel docs and use nothing but built-in Laravel things. You don't have to learn design patterns. You don't have to learn, you know, whatever. You don't have to learn even the internals of how everything works. But, and I mean, it's a natural extension. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just kind of crazy that, like, that is the path to mastery. The path to mastery is knowing how to use the tools really well, or, like, you know, just using the tools that are in the docs, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I have been guilty myself of, like, solving problems that are already solved in Laravel by default.
Yeah.
And like that always feels real bad, especially when Matt says, "Did you read my book or not?"
Yeah, right. That is yeah.
Which I did, but you know, it's a big book. I didn't write your book. Like
every time he asks me something, I'm scared that like that it's gonna come back to something like I missed in the book or forgot or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only chapter I've read multiple times is chapter 11, which is the best chapter.
Which one's
and
that?
Also bankruptcy. It's the container.
Oh, right. Nice.
It's like I read that all the time. But anyway, so I want to talk about the me helper real quick.
Okay.
This is like a quick transition. So did you pull the me helper out?
No.
Of your app? Okay.
It's the one custom
Explain
thing.
The
I actually
helper.
Converted all the auth macros to the me helper.
Just to me helpers? Okay. So you kept your little bit of magic.
Yeah. And I still think it's phenomenal.
Okay, explain the me helper.
I don't think I will write auth user again, fingers crossed. But I don't know. So the me helper is, I was delving into metaphors for this naming talk, and I think we talked about this, but basically it just occurred to me that auth user is such a super common pattern. I hate the fact that auth is always paired with user. So a while ago, I just made a user helper function. So it was just user, which was essentially auth user. And I was like, oh, well, I could make a company macro that you could say auth company. And then I can make a helper just company for auth company. So I had all this crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But so it just occurred to me like auth user is a metaphor for the currently logged in user. And when you look at an API like Facebook's Graph API, when they say /me, like it's already an established metaphor for the currently logged in user. I was like, I'll just make a me helper function. I pull requested it, and then Taylor said, this is ballsy. and said no.
And didn't merge
and
it.
And did not merge it. Right. I think it's worth it. I'm going to stick with it. I hope someday somebody will see the ways and pull it in. But I think me mm-hmm. is such a great metaphor for the currently logged in user. I don't have to write that auth user. You know, it's so long and you write it everywhere. And me is so beautiful. And you also get some naming sauce. Like you get some names in your code that just make you giggle. Like it's
right.
So I literally have a method on the user model called follows, which is basically like it's like a is following, you know? So it's like follows. So user follows, and then you might pass in another user and it'll return true or false. So now if I'm checking against another user, so I have to say user follows me. Like, how beautiful is that? User follows yeah. me. Like it reads too good to not, you know?
So we briefly discussed this, but in the English language, the first person pronoun, there's a lot of versions of it.
True.
So you can be me, you can be I, you can be myself.
My.
You can have my, which is like possessive, ownership, first person right. possessive.
Right.
If you added all of these helper functions, you could write so many things in plain English. For so example, my post, or sorry, not my post, but like my team
right.
or my company.
Yeah.
You could do something like my company has me or something like that. Right.
Right. yeah.
You could say, I'm trying to think of a good use for mine.
But
I feel like mine
something,
could be used.
I don't know,
well.
Like post is mine, you know? Like post belongs
yeah,
to
but then, eh. but
right, then that
have
would
to
change
name
the
a
API for
is.
Post. Isn't that yeah. And then we started talking about this and we were like we could change like the way we write methods in our user model or something to adapt to this.
Yeah. Which is dirty and should not be done.
Oh yeah, but it's fun to think about. It like my So this is the dream world where I have like three or four helper functions that are all aliases for auth user. I, uh-huh. me, my, and it's just a pattern. And
yeah.
So like my would be what I would use for all the properties, like, and all the accessors and relationships. Cause like, think of like any of properties and accessors and relationships on a model, you would use my, like my posts, my team, my publish at, you know, or my, you know,
uh-huh.
whatever.
Oh, dude, I just got a great idea for a test case method just called I.
I.
This is getting a little bit too cucumber BDD-ish, okay. but you could right. have a you could have a test case method called I, which is basically this acting as user random or create.
This acting as user random or create.
So I, you know my random or create function?
Right.
That basically like gets a user that exists. Yeah. Well, I use it all the time. But basically it's like, if a user exists, be it. If right. not, create one, then be it.
Mm.
And then it just returns like this, right? So then you can do things like I visit / home.
Right. Yeah, interesting. And I still sets it up like, I mean, this is funny because we're really coming full circle to Codeception or
right,
you know,
exactly.
like they literally use I, but, uh-huh. But there, Adam Wathen and I got in this discussion about B. So, you know, in the test case where you say B, like, mm-hmm. like this B and then the user and it's like login as, you know, and yeah. I messaged him and said like, I don't even know what I said, but basically he was like, B is garbage. And I was like, you're wrong. B is awesome. And
okay, here's what I said. I said B is good in the response, but then I realized that he was talking about in fluent chains inside
right,
of the test.
In the fluent chains inside of the test, which I never
did.
And now
I do B in my setup method.
I used to do that. I now do the Adam Wathen way. After I saw it, I can't unsee it.
Well, I do both. That's the thing. And I always do acting as in fluent chains.
And you
it
always
reads
do
well.
Acting as when you need it, when it's already B, like you already have B.
In fluent chains.
Really?
Well, no, because I don't always do B. I only do B for certain things. Like
right,
if I'm
okay.
doing like a controller test or
yeah,
something,
yeah.
then I'll do B, right? Okay. Yeah. Or like if I'm doing something that requires like API auth, then I'll do like B with the API auth, right?
Right.
But if it's something where it's like I just need, like I'm testing this one feature and only one of the tests in this file requires a logged in user, then I'll do acting as in a fluent chain. And
right.
Yeah. So I do B in the setup method and I do acting as in the test.
That's another thing that I've just... In that fit where I was ripping out all the macros, I ripped out every single setup method in all my tests. I ripped out every single B or acting as before the fluent chain. And
Caleb. We have to shout out Jeffer underscore 8A.
Okay.
Jeff Ocho.
Oh, factory stories.
Jeff Ocho on GitHub. Yeah, he wrote factory stories.
That's crazy. About,
I think this was like our second episode, maybe first or second episode.
I think it was maybe the first. Yeah, something like that.
Or it was early.
It was early. Yeah.
And then we tried to write it at Titan OnSite, and we got into too many like
perfectionist
disagreements.
Like, yeah, and we trashed it and never thought about it again. And then Jeffer 8A did it. Wow. Yeah. Let there be factory stories.
I haven't used it yet.
And then there were factory stories. I looked at the GitHub thing. I haven't used it. We have to use it. I have to use it.
Yeah.
All right. At least like, well, here's the thing. Like I've come like far away from it where like the current iteration of Caleb will not use it. Like, but I have to use it because he made it.
You're like the most withholding podcast host ever. Like, go make me a package. Oh, you finished it? I don't want it anymore. Throw it away.
That is so sad and true.
No, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it next week and see how it feels.
All right, me too. I'm going to at least pull it in.
Yeah, what am I building next week? Let me look at my to-dos.
I think we're at 20 minutes, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Here. I'm building some new metrics into an analytics API for this big app I'm working on.
Ooh.
So when I write the test for that,
mm-hmm.
I am going to write a factory story for that type of metric.
That's great.
Because I've got a couple different types of metrics, mm-hmm. right? So I'll write a metric factory story. Anyway.
And then post a picture or something and tag him and me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll obviously blur out all the NDA'd stuff.
No. Just put it out there. Passwords and all.
No, I'm just going to... Yeah. Passwords, AWS keys.
Everything.
My personal private key.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Before we sign off, I just have to say this because I thought of it. I posted on GitHub once a package where my .env file was in it and the AWS creds got on it. And I instantly got an email from like a kind citizen who made a sniffer that said, you just posted sensitive creds, take them down immediately and change them, which was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a nice person.
What a nice person who made some bot. Because
you know, for every nice guy who's sending an email, there's 1,000 bad dudes.
I know. Like, I'm like, oh, shoot. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, bad is always
cool.
Better than nice. Okay. I think we're at 21 minutes.
More
20 minutes?
33, 25.
23 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Every Friday for less than 20 minutes.
That's right. Less than 20 minutes.
We didn't have a podcast last week.
This is true. We should stay.
We earned this time. We should stay. How's everything?
Just talk about things, you know.
Yep. All right. Cool.
All right. Well. See you later.
One thing.
Okay.
I have never before in the history of my life promoted Fits and Starts on this podcast, and I've meant to do it a million times. I have another podcast called Fits and Starts. Go listen to it. Check it out.
It's great.
Last week we had Merlin Man.
Start at the latest episode, and then go back to episode 0.
Don't go to episode 0. It's a terrible episode.
Do go to episode 0. But it is great. The show is awesome. We put like way less effort into this show than they put into that show. And that show is like a real show. And it's awesome.
I put the same amount of effort in. John puts in 10 times as much.
It's crazy. It's so fun. The editing is great. And they literally, they just do like fits and starts, like little segments where they're just like talking random. It's great. So you should
This is way too long of a promotion.
Okay.
I'm just
showering you.
This podcast. Barely at all.
Because it's really great.
On the other one.
It is great.
I just mentioned it. All right.
Okay. Bye.
And a big shout out to Jared White for providing this music.